What's best for me? My Father knows what I need. Amen. Amen. What a testimony. Knows what's best for me. Amen. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful we can come here tonight, Lord, and just to sing your praises, Lord, and create an atmosphere where you will feel welcome to come and speak to us now, Lord Jesus. So we ask you, Father, to come and be a mighty conqueror. Be a mighty God unveiled before us. Help us, Lord, to see you in your word and to see that word manifest and made flesh, Lord Jesus. And help us, Lord, to have ears to hear the voice of God speaking, Lord. Father, we come in humility, Lord, all of us just to asking you to come and do a great thing for us tonight, Father. And you promised to do it, Lord. So we're believers and so we're here gathered together, Lord. To hear from you, Lord. Strengthen us, heal us, Lord. Set us free. Lord, do all the things that each one of us have need of, Father. You know our needs. I pray for the ones who aren't here, Lord Jesus. You know what they need also, Lord. I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy. Amen. Amen. If you want to read, we're going to read one scripture. We'll be seated. John 1:18. I'm going to continue with the thought of super sign. Spoke on the last two services. Thanks, sir. We just want to pick up where we left off on super sign. John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Doesn't in a man, he said he's in the bosom of the Father, but yet he hath declared him, and he's right there on earth at that time, and yet he was in the bosom of the Father. Amen. He may be seated. So we looked at this, and we saw how Jesus came to declare the Father, to declare God, so that people, human beings, would know what God was like in human flesh, because that was the whole thing God wanted to do, was restore all that Adam lost, which was a unity with man and God. And to do that, he wanted to come indwell flesh. So Jesus came. So when we would see God dwelling in flesh, manifesting, we would recognize him. In Romans, Paul says, but if the spirit that of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies, that's these bodies, by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So we see that that same spirit that was in Jesus, which was God, manifesting him so people would recognize him. When that same spirit comes in us, our responsibility is also to declare the Father. That's why we get the Holy Ghost, so brothers and sisters, so that people will recognize God in flesh. It's the super sign. Amen. And then we saw where Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he said he wanted to have sit down and have it. He comes sneaking at night. He wanted to have some kind of a private conference, and let's have a discussion about what we believe, because you're here as a Messiah, maybe, I don't know, but you're not the way we believe, so could you please explain this to me? And Jesus just cut him off in mid-sentence and said, listen, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you're not even going to understand a thing I tell you anyways. You need to be born again, or you will not understand the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is in you, and if you're not born again, it's not in you, so you can't understand what's going on anyway. So get born again. That's the whole thing. And then we saw the reason people don't get born again and the reason they keep messing up and not recognizing the super sign, they don't recognize Christ, is because they have their own idea of what he's supposed to do when he comes. They have their own idea of what the pastor is supposed to be like, what the song leader is supposed to be like, what the piano player is supposed to be like, and what we're supposed to do and what kind of church we have. And we're supposed to have our own ideas. And God said, just lean not to your own understanding and follow the light as it goes forward. All right, that's what we preached up to now. It's a quick review. Now let's go ahead and keep going forward. Why don't you turn to Mark 8 and 8. We're going to start there tonight. Mark 8 and 8. This is where Jesus had just fed a multitude of people with loaves and fishes. And they just got done, and it says, so they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. He sent them away, and straightway he entered into a ship with the disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. He had just fed 4,000 people. And they said, now will you show us a sign? He said, well, those people were crazy. What is wrong with them? Let me ask you the same thing. What's wrong with us when we have the same attitude? After all God has done, and yet we say, well, if you would do it this way, I believe you. See, Satan came to Jesus in the wilderness and said, listen, you're hungry. Why don't you turn these rocks into bread? What was he doing? He was tempting him. He had the power to do it. But Jesus said, I only do that which the Father shows me. And the Father didn't show him to that. So for him to do that, he would have been breaking the word. He could only do as he's led of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he does. And if he did anything else, he'd have broke the word. And he could not have been the sacrifice. And these Pharisees came with the exact same spirit. Satan said, do this for me. Prove it to me. Man, I will worship you. You can do that. Well, because he knew it was against the word. These Pharisees came. Now, we know you're wonderful. You can do this. Why don't you show us a sign? In other words, this is what they're saying. We don't really think you're the Messiah because you haven't come the right way. But if you show us a sign that we want you to show us, then we're going to believe you. We'll accept you. But he would have broke the word. That's the way people do it. The word is preached and it comes and they know it's of God and they see the effect it has. But they say, yeah, but I want it this way. I want to receive the Holy Ghost a certain way. I don't want to have to just accept the preaching and walk in faith. I want to come to the altar and I want to have a massive meltdown. And I want a massive just overflowing of the Holy Spirit. And I'm dancing and shouting and singing. And as I know that, I know that, I know. No, you don't. That's the scientific evidence you're looking for. He says, I'm not going to give it to you that way. Quit asking me for that sign. The sign is always a super sign. It is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is God in flesh manifesting himself in each age. So find the word for this age and see if that's what's happening. Amen. My. Seeking him a sign from heaven, tempting. How was he tempting him? Because he wanted to do it. He said, you know what? If I would, that old slicker talking about this human nature, you know what? If I would just do what they ask, we could have a great church. Because I get all the Pharisees and scribes, and we could have a massive church. And oh my goodness. He said it was tempting him. How do you think your pastors feel sometimes? You know what? If I would just calm down a little bit, we could get along in this church a little bit better. We could have a whole church full of people if I would just compromise a little bit. That's what they're trying to get Jesus to, just compromise just a bit. People don't have to walk out of here all tore up all the time. They could walk out of here smiling. Should be walking out here smiling anyways. And this is what Jesus did. He sighed deeply in his spirit. Here's Jesus. He had just done all this stuff. They said, listen, Master, would you show us a sign too? And he was like, and saith, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them. You come up, you tempt me. He sighed. He said, why are you looking for a sign? Why don't you accept what I've already said? Why don't you accept what I've already done? I ain't got time for you. And he walked away. Another point, another place when Matthew gave the same story about what happened, that's when he said, now you, he talked about the evening sky and you can see, he said, you can discern the signs of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. And he walked away. And let me tell you what, message believers across the world can discern the signs of natural signs. They can look at the America, United States, you see that it's going to hell. It's gone. Everything is gone. Everything is totally destroyed. It's totally corrupt. And they can sit here and say, man, you know it's the end time because this is going on and this is going on. But can they recognize their spiritual sign of the day? Can they recognize the signs of the time? What is the signs of the time? It's the word that has been preached by the prophet. It's now living in your flesh. Can they discern that? And I'll tell you right now, no, they can't. Because if they did, why are they still seeking another sign? Why are they still seeking another anointing, another baptism, another way to preach, another church to go to, someone who makes them happy? Why are they still doing that if they can recognize the sign of Jesus Christ today? They don't. He left them and entering to the ship again departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. So here the disciples had just seen everything. They heard everything. And they're getting in the boat. And they said, he said, listen, the Pharisees had just come. He just had that interaction. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Be careful what Herod is, his leaven. And they were thinking, oh my goodness, it's bread. Leaven isn't bread. We don't have enough bread. We only brought one loaf of bread. Oh my goodness, now he's mad at us. That's not so far off for today either. Oh my goodness, I made a mistake. I don't even know if I should go to church or not because he's mad at me now because I made a mistake. And oh my goodness, now, oh dear, I just feel like such a sinner. I just don't know if I can even praise God right anymore. Same old spirit. I think God's this big old angry God with a hammer. He's just going to clobber you down. And when Jesus knew it, he said to them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Reasoning is up here in their mind. They're trying to figure it out with their own thoughts. The Pharisees were trying to figure it out with their own thoughts. They said, this can't be Messiah. Why don't you prove it is? Nicodemus come and he said, you know what? We know you're a man from God. We know you're from God, but you don't line up with our idea of the Messiah. So what's going on? He said, you can't understand it anyways. And here's the disciples trying to figure it out just like Nicodemus had been. He said, perceive ye not, neither understand, have you your heart hardened? They didn't have a bad attitude. They didn't like, well, we're going to just resist it. He said, have you hardened your heart? Because they're still taking their own idea. Boy, Brother Phil, you just preached to your own self right there. How many years did I sit there and I had my own idea of what it meant to be born again? And I did not have a bad attitude, but I had hardened my heart because I wanted it my way. How many people have come, they flocked to this altar right here seeking the Holy Ghost the way that they wanted it? And they go back disappointed. They come back up here and they go back disappointed. That's me. That was me. How many hundreds of times did I go to the altar over the years at all the different meetings in every place I've been to with my own idea of what I was looking for? And Jesus said, you've hardened your heart. It wasn't a bad attitude that hardened it. It was just my own idea, my own religion, my own comfort. What about the people who have a bad attitude? Wonder what he says about them. Stiff neck. He said, having eyes, see you not? Having ears, hear you not? Do you not remember? Have you sat in this church for all these years? Have you not perceived what's going on? Have you not seen it? Have you not heard it? Have you not seen the evidence? He said, look, I am the creator. Haven't I proved that? Listen to what he said. When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full took up? They said 12. When the seven amongst 4,000, how many baskets took up? Seven. He said unto them, how is that you don't understand? Have I not proved that I am the creator in your midst? Have I not proved that this is the very word of God speaking? Have this not been proven to you over and over and over? Then how can you not understand that if you will simply take me at my word and I will do what you need me to do? And they thought he was talking about loaves of bread. How many times, if I could just live good enough, if I could just quit doing that, if I could just stop doing this, he said, how much do you need to see? How much do you need to see? Well, I still struggle with this spirit, Brother Phil, and I still struggle with that. What do you not understand? What do you not understand? How many times has he preached, stop trying? Still disbelieving. Why? Because it didn't fit their idea, their own understanding, something that had been preached into their mind probably when they're a kid. It's just hadn't been able to let it go. Would you turn in 2 Corinthians with me? We're going to keep reading on this subject here. 2 Corinthians, we're going to start in chapter 3. This is talking about how the Jews' minds were, there's a veil because they didn't recognize Christ. Let's go ahead and start at verse 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. We use great plainness of speech. Why do you preach the way you do, Brother Phil? Because the Bible tells me you use great plainness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, and for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. What shall turn to the Lord? Their hearts. When they would turn their hearts to the Lord, instead of just their minds figuring it out, turn your heart to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. You will see Christ. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. So he said, the veil has been taken away, and we are looking in the very mirror of the Word, and we are seeing from glory to glory. We see Christ being manifest in the mirror, looking at ourselves in the Word. If the veil has been taken away, from glory to glory, we're changed. What does that mean? You go to church, and you go to church, and you listen to the tapes, and you pray, and you read your Bible, and God reveals it little by little by little by little, and it's from glory, and you say, oh, I never saw that before. And then you see, oh, I never saw this before. And you go further, look what he's doing in me, and it's glory to glory. And one day, you're going to say, you know what? I am one step from the rapture. I am one step from the body change, and it's going to be just the most natural thing to take that next step. That's exactly the way it's going to be. You're going to have faith that you know that everything's going on, and you see this here and you say, I know that today's rapturing day. Brother Branham said something like this. He said, you're going to look and you're going to see someone. He said, oh, it's mother. He said, it's just a few minutes. You know that change is coming. It's not going to be, I'm just living like some podunk sinner down here. And one day the rapture's going to come along and boom, I'm okay. It's not like I'm just a lukewarm message believer. And one day it's just going to be, well, here it is. No, brother and sister, it's going to be just the most natural next progression. So are you progressing? Are you moving forward? Do you see a difference from where you were a month ago or 3 months ago? Is this a doctrine or is it a reality? I speaking a Sunday about how we've been called up, our soul's been raptured already. And any message believer say, amen. Do you believe it because you've been taught it or do you believe it because it's happening to you? Yes. You can argue with me all day long if you want that the seventh seal isn't open, but you know why I know it is? Because I see it happening. Amen. It's not because it's a doctrine on the page. That doctrine has come off and he has showed it to me. This is a fulfillment of that. Now go walk in it. This ain't just doctrine. This is experience. This is what's happening. So he said, we are with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. The Spirit keeps changing us. It's the Spirit doing it. It's not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, I'm putting you in a rapture. Chapter 4, he said, therefore, because we see this going on, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what's this ministry? To see us change from glory to glory. We have this ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't get discouraged. We don't get beat down. We don't get despaired. We don't get all tore up about stuff. We don't faint. We keep pressing on because we see we have this ministry, and it's time to keep pressing on. He said, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So what is he saying? We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Any ministry that is not pointing to and producing and focusing on Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, is handling the word of God deceitfully. Any ministry that is pointing to yesterday's light is handling the God of deceitfully. Any ministry that's pointing to you and telling you if you live good enough, you go in the rapture is flat out lying to you. It's false. Any ministry that is not focusing on, majoring on God, the super sign today, is a false ministry. You're handling it deceitfully. He said, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It's the ministry that is the manifestation of the truth. Not because I'm telling you, but you see the manifestation of the word happening. That's how we're being commended. God proving his word. Then he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Because you can't even understand it unless you're born again. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Been blinded. How did he blind? He blinded their mind. Why? How? By their own understanding, by their own doctrine, something he preached to Eve. He's preaching the same thing to everyone else and see if you will accept it or not. He's preaching something. Just take the word and just twist it just a little bit. Just a little bit. Why? Because that's how he gets your mind blinded so you can't see the reality of Jesus Christ before you. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, that's not true for all ministers, because some ministers preach themselves. And they will tell you all that they've done, and they'll bring people, and they'll point at themselves and get people flocking to them and to their ministry. Why? Because they don't know Christ, first of all. And they are still feeding, they're still leaning to their own understanding. They still want something here. They still want a kingdom, whatever it is. They want to be special. They, whatever Satan, he's given and offered him something, they say, I'll take that. And they've been blinded. Some of the best people you ever want to meet. Nicest gentlemen. But they want their own way. And people love that kind of, because if the minister can have his own way, then you can have your own way. You keep to your own. You lean to your own understanding. You're just going to keep coming. You're going to have to. You can keep your own religion. You can have whatever sensation you want to be your evidence. This is the way I believe it. This is why I believe it. There's a family came here. They used to be here. They come to our camp meetings a long time ago. And I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, they came and visited. And they didn't live around here. And they, in all these years, they would never move to where there is a church with a pastor. They just sat out by themselves without a pastor. And I remember the last time I saw him, and we were here, and we were fellowshipping, and some of the brothers were sitting talking about something about the word. And the wife, the lady, she just piped up and she said, well, this is the way it is. And she stood there, and the next couple of minutes, she just told us, she laid it all out so we could all understand this is the way it really is. And a little bit later, it happened again. And later, it happened again, and I realized. And as soon as it happened, her husband would just kind of sit down, be quiet, say, okay, that's the way I accept it. Because he was her pastor, she was his pastor. That's what you get when you're not sitting under a pastor, a real one. You're all cockamamie. But you can have it the way you want. Preach Christ, not ourselves. Verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. You remember when that light shined out of darkness to you? Made a difference? It shined in your heart. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ still in human flesh is still there. And that's the knowledge. That is the super sign when we recognize God among us. So many times we see God in the prophet. We see God in the Bible. We see God in historical Jesus. But we don't want to accept him here. Why not? Verse 7 tells you why not. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And that is the stumbling block. That is the place where people stub up against it and stop going forward, because they can see the earthen vessel. They can see the faults and the weaknesses. They can find fault. And it gives them, they feel justified. Well, that's just Brother Phil. I don't have to accept everything he preaches, because, I mean, he's just a man. He makes mistakes. He just got in his flesh. Brother Jerry, you know, he's had so many problems and so much physical problems, mental problems. How in the world am I supposed to have confidence in him? Should I tell you why that is? Because people have an idol of their image of what a pastor is supposed to be. I'm going to say something here that's going to cut a little bit. They have an idea. They have their own idol of a pastor. What? This is the kind of pastor I want. And they hold it up there in front of their face. And when the pastor God sends them doesn't live up to that, they find fault. Brother Branham said, if you look too much to a pastor, God will let him fall to get your eyes off of him. Well, let me tell you what. Brother Jerry didn't fall in sin or anything, but he's fallen into other stuff that showing that he's a weak human being. He's a weak human being just like you and I. He has these faults. He had these problems. He's had mental problems. And people are going to say, well, how can that be a pastor? Let me tell you why it is. It's to destroy the idols around here. Yeah, he suffered like that because of the idolatry that some people have of what a pastor is supposed to be. Bible says, live a life that those who give account for you can do so with joy, not with sorrow. When Brother Jerry has to give account for some people around here, how much joy is he going to have doing that? You know what God's doing around here? He said, fine. You don't want to accept the pastor I've sent you? I'm not going to give him what you want. I'm going to keep things going the way that, and you're going to have to listen to Phil. That's the truth. Until we accept the vessel God sends and die to our own ideas and our own thoughts and our own idols of what a pastor and what a minister is supposed to be, he's going to keep him in that same shape, that same thing, so that we have to just humble ourselves and say, any way you send it is fine with me. That's why Brother Jerry's not here tonight. People get tore up when he travels here. He goes there and he does all these things. Why? Because they have an idea, their idea of how a pastor is supposed to conduct his business. It's exactly right. This ain't my idea. I didn't come up with this. I was running last night and God brought it to me. I was preaching it when I was running down the greenway. I'm glad it was dark and no one was around to hear me. Said, you don't like the messengers I sent? You don't like the preachers I sent to you? Then I'm going to keep it that way until you humble yourself and say, whatever it takes, I got to have you. You're going to dash your idols to the ground. And that brought me to another thought. If God put you in this church and God brought a ministry to this church and you're not accepting it, what are you doing? If you have confidence that the ministry is speaking the truth, but yet you still have an attitude towards the minister, don't try to tell me that you believe it's the voice of God speaking. Because if it is, and you say, well, I believe it's God speaking, and you have an attitude, then you have the characteristics of another man who spoke directly to God with a bad attitude. His name was Cain. And he knew he was speaking to God, and he had a bad attitude anyways. And if you said, well, I believe you're preaching the truth, Brother Phil, and you're getting mad, and you're disrespecting the ministry, then you have the characteristics of Cain. Get saved. That's a horrible thing to say, because I know I'm speaking to people around here, whether they're here or not tonight. And if the minister is not speaking the truth, if the ministry is not producing Christ, why are you here? Don't you care about eternal life? You're going to sit under a false ministry just because it's convenient? How do you live with yourself? How do you make this make sense in your minds? the ministry. I don't like what Brother Phil is doing. I don't like what Brother Jerry is doing, but I'm going to go to church there anyway. It's okay, Cain. It is. It's insanity. It's horrible. We had a man, he said, I can't find any fault with what you preach, Brother Jerry. I just don't like the way you run your church. Exactly what I'm talking about. Look at the disrespect towards God. He's going to send you a pastor who's going to preach the truth, but he don't know how to run the church. What a chaotic God you serve. If you don't have confidence in the ministry, go find a minister you can have confidence in and go into rapture. For goodness sakes, why are you playing around with eternal life? We have these treasures and earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God may be, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So that you look at, you see me and you see my faults, and I hope you see him. You see my weakness and I hope you see him. So you don't start thinking, well, Brother Phil, he's a wonderful guy. He is not a wonderful guy. He's just a person like you. And I'm not saying you're not wonderful, but he is not any higher or anything else. We're all brothers and sisters. There is one God to serve. You keep your eyes on God. You quit looking at the vessel. And if the ministry is having the effect that it is producing Christ from glory to glory, and you're seeing more Christ all the time, then walk in that light. You say, well, I don't know if I see it or not. What are you looking for? Can you not see the changes that has happened to people? I'm going to pull up the poster boy for change. Brother David Horner, if you knew David Horner 5 years ago and you know him today, you have to admit he's changed. You have to admit. He said, well, I still see his faults. I'm glad you said that. That's why he said we have this in earthen vessels, so we still make mistakes. Am I asking, has his nature changed, or is he the same boy he used to be? I challenge you to say he hasn't changed. What about the rest of us? I don't know if you recognize me, but I am not the boy I used to be. This is exciting to me. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Well, if it happened this way, or if this way, or if I didn't see these mistakes or that mistakes, what about your own mistakes? You know why people look at your mistakes and say, I don't have to accept that? Because you're justifying your own. Because you're still legalistic. You haven't accepted the grace of God. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, that's amazing. And then he says something I really like. He said, we are persecuted, cast down, troubled, perplexed. Wait a minute. We're believers. I'm a preacher. Surely I'm not persecuted and perplexed, cast down and troubled. Well, whose God are you? What God are you serving? Do you see the ministry as? We are your servants for Christ's sake. We're here to point you to Christ. If I'm pointing to myself, I'm a false minister. What does he say? He said, we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We go through troubles, but it's like, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I can go to church anymore because I'm so troubled. He said, we're not distressed. There's no distress signal. You have a distress thing, you send it up to God and say, hey, I got some problems here. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Why are you walking in faith? I don't know what to do next. I'm perplexed. I don't know to go left or right, or what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to hold still till he tells you which way to go. And if he don't tell you which way to go, you know what? You just start walking, because if you will just start walking, then he can guide you. But when you're afraid to start walking, he can't do anything with you. So keep walking. There's no despair. Well, I've tried and tried, Brother Phil. I've tried and tried. I just can't seem to get born again. I just can't seem to do that. You're in despair because you're not walking in faith. He said, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. He sees the persecution. He doesn't leave you alone. Let him walk with you. He said, we're cast down, but not destroyed. Sometimes Satan comes and just gives you a punch. You got a punch coming, you know. He knocks you for a loop, and you'll fly back there, and you're laying on the ground and say, oh, my goodness, what am I doing? I thought I was born again. Thank you. You're not destroyed. Get up. Keep walking. Troubled on every side. By who? Message believers? Pharisees who want it their way. They're the ones who bothered Jesus. They were the holy people of that day. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We die to ourselves daily so that Christ can live. Let me read a quote here. It meant something for the rich young ruler, his heart hungry, to come to Jesus. He said, Rabbi, what must I do to have eternal life? I wonder what he thought he was going to be told. He knew something was wrong. He had been a good message believer his whole life. There's still something missing. I know where he was standing. I've been there. He said, keep the commandments. He said, I did this since a child. He said, you want to be perfect? You really want to be perfect? You really want to be a message believer? You really want to be born again? You really want something for real? You want to go in the rapture? He said, follow me. Sell all that has. Give away your treasure. Give away your idols. Give away your comfort. Die to yourself. Die to your pride. Why are you getting mad at what's being preached? Because of your pride. Why do you let that keep you out of church? Why don't you get back in church no matter your pride? Why are you serving your pride instead of Christ? He went away sorrowful, was too much of a price. He said if he could have given him some money and built a big church somewhere, put himself a member, he'd have easily done that. That was his idea. That's what he wanted. That's what the Pharisees want. That's what message believers want. Something you can do yourself. He said, don't you see how that's patterned today amongst the rich? There were others, not only the rich, but the poor, many of them from the slime pits. So forth, they refuse because of popularity. Popularity among their brothers and sisters, among their family, among other churches. How many ministers get up to preach in the message churches and they know if they say what God really put on their heart, if they really speak with plainness of speech, they would lose half their congregation. So they won't speak with plainness of speech. They speak in riddles. They speak in, well, this isn't in our business, and that's none of our business, and we're just going to deal with that, and we're going to have a conference. We'll talk about that to you and me, between us, and you just keep working on that bad attitude you have, but I'm not going to bring it up in front of everyone because I don't want to humiliate you. Deceitful users of the word to build their own kingdoms. He said, because he was unpopular, he was Emmanuel. Oh, what's Emmanuel? Who is Emmanuel? God with us. Emmanuel is here tonight, brother and sister. They said, that's criticism. That's the devil. That's mental telepathy. That's Beelzebub. The teachers of their day, the big churches, that is nonsense. God said, it's an eternal sign, the super sign, the sign of all signs, that God is with you, even in you, to the end of the world. What other sign are you looking for? You looking for a sign of a pastor? You looking for the sign of a miracle? You looking for the sign of an anointing? I'm looking for the sign of God in you, the hope of glory. That puts you in the rapture. That's the super sign. Everything else was to get you to that. The prophet came to get us to Emmanuel. The prophet came, the message came to get us to the super sign. That's what it was all about. Jesus Christ died on the cross to get us to super sign. Everything before that, the miracles, the signs and wonders, the healings, everything is to get us to where we and God are united together in one, the headship coming down, the capstone on the body, and we're united together for a rapture. And the rapture ain't the final thing, brother and sister. Rapture is just going to be one little small part. It's going to be afterwards when we're in eternity with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Restored in eternity. That's what it's all been about. And when preachers get it, well, you got to understand this doctrine, and you got to understand this doctrine, and you have to have this sensation, and you have to believe it this way, and you have to dress this way, and they got all this junk going on, and they're handling the word of God deceitfully, because he said, all I want to see is the super sign. There's your super sign. It exceeds all sign. It's the first sign. Acts 19, those people had come back and recognized that sign before they could ever receive the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. He said they had to recognize that sign before they could receive the Holy Ghost. Acts 19, 5, yet a believer that had the Bible, had a fine preacher, was proving that Jesus was Christ. Yet before they could come into it and to see the sign, they had to come and be rebaptized, have hands laid on them, and receive the Holy Ghost. So what's he saying? He sounds like he's saying both ways. You had to see it before you could get it. You can't see it until after you get it. Here's what it is. You have to recognize that there's something missing. You see something real in someone else's life, and you say, I'm thirsting. I want that. Amen. And that's not your mom and dad telling you, you better be good. You better be good. You better be good. But the reason why is because that's just respect to your mom and dad and what they want. And if you respect your parents, there's a good chance you respect God. And if you don't respect your parents and you don't respect God, you're getting nowhere with God. So it's a teaching us as we grow up the way we're supposed to. But brother and sister, I'm getting off on the wrong thing here. I totally lost my train of thought because I've gone off on the wrong. Never mind. Okay. What was I talking about, Brother Paul? Respect before that. It is respect. This is funny. Let me get back up and read this. I totally. Oh, yes. Here we are. You had to recognize God in flesh. You have to recognize there's something different. You have to recognize that. But yet you're not going to understand what that is completely until it comes in you. You're not going to understand what it means to be the super sign until it's happening in you. And you might see it in someone else, and you might want it, and you might thirst for it. But until it happens to you, you still do not understand the kingdom of God. That's what it is. That's what parents are doing. They are supposed to live such a life that their kids see that super sign in them. They say, I want what you got. That's what it means by applying the token to your house. That's how you apply the token. Is there such a life of Christ there that your kids love to be there? That's what the prophet said. And some of your kids will love it and some will reject it and run off. That's not your problem. That's between them and God. Just make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. Handle our own responsibility. He said, to see that sign, they had to come and be rebaptized, have hands laid on them, and receive the Holy Ghost. But in the evening time, the lights are here. You believe that? I believe I'm looking at those lights. He said, it's criticized. Boy, we could stop there for a while, couldn't we? Look at the criticism that has come towards the ministry here. And it ain't me. I told you before, I don't bear a hundredth of the burden that Brother Jerry has because he is the pastor. I'm just here substituting. And I recognize that I got the easy job. The criticism that has come. It's been made fun of. It's evil spoken of. The prophet said it would be evil spoken of. It's a stumbling block. Evil spoken of, made fun of, criticized. Emmanuel in us, working his will through us. What evidence do you have, Brother Phil, that this is the evening light? Well, we're criticized, made fun of, evil spoken of, and what else do you want? A stumbling block. There's some evidence right there. Now, just because you have that doesn't mean you're the manual, because a lot of people get evil spoken of. Brother and sister, when you're evil spoken of because of Christ in you, that's a really good sign. And I feel bad for those people who are doing it. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. One more quote, real quick. Jesus said to that man-made system in his day, they was holy. You couldn't touch them. Reverent men, holy and without blame. Talking about message believers, isn't he? He said, you are of your father, the devil, because they did not believe him. He was the Word of God made flesh, living here on earth among us, God's Word. And because they didn't believe him, they didn't accept him, they didn't recognize him, he said, you're of your father, the devil. Oh, it's all become history now. God remains. But in all of that, as a fork lightning in a stormy night flashes forth, it shows there can be light in the darkness. It proves that no matter how dark it gets, there still can be light. So man wanting to make signs and have signs, God said one day, I'm going to give you them an eternal super sign. I'm going to give them a sign. It'll be a super sign, an everlasting sign. It'll never change. This sign will never change. This is always what God's sign is. It will remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll give them a sign. They won't receive it, but yet God gives it. But for those who received him, to them gave he power to become children of God. That's exciting. It's that simple. You receive it, you can be a child of God. You get eternal life. Let me just read this one quote of this scripture I read the other night. He said, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, that seeth, recognizes the Son in flesh, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is that simple. It's that easy to go in the rapture, folks. Recognize Christ today and accept it. Believe on him, and we're going into rapture. Everyone okay? I am. You know why? Tonight I got changed from glory to glory just a little bit more. And I look in here and I see, oh, I'm supposed to be evil spoken of. Praise the Lord! I'm supposed to be made fun of. I'm supposed to be criticized. Then I can stand with my brothers and sisters who are also going through it and have been in the past years and gone all the way down through time, and we can stand there shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters and said, we're here too. We're the last of them. We're the last people. The light is still shining. If I could give someone the Holy Ghost, I would do it. If I could die to yourself for you, I would do it, wouldn't you? If I could bear your burden for you, I would do it. If I could heal you, if I could set you free, I would do it. Wouldn't you do that? Who would you not set free? Who would you not give the Holy Ghost? Who would you hold? Well, I don't want to give it to you. No. Someone wants the Holy Ghost, I'll give it here. Here it is. Give it. Here, take it. But God made it easier than that. He made it simpler than that. But you got to come His way. You can't say, God, give me a sign the way I want it. He says, no, sir. You come my way because I know what it takes for you to die. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're grateful you would come and speak and encourage us tonight. Lord, some of the things I said were so hard, but you put it on my heart, and I'm fully persuaded that that's what you wanted me to say. And some of the things are so encouraging, Lord. And even the hard things are encouraging if we take it in the right attitude, Lord Jesus. So I just pray that each one of us would accept it, recognizing the voice of God and just moving forward, walking on up into it, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to continue to walk, recognizing it's the power in us. It's not our power. It's the power in these earthen vessels that are making the difference, that are changing us, Lord. Help each one, Lord Jesus, to accept it, to just the simplest little thing, the simplest little word that you speak. Help us to cling to that and walk in that faith and be changed from glory to glory. Oh, how I thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Your blessings are so numerous. Lord, the good and the bad and everything else, Lord, whatever you allow happen, Lord, is you have it all figured out. You have it all in control. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless us as we go from here, Lord. Watch over us. Bring us back, Lord, the ones who can make it here this Sunday, Lord. When Brother Bo's here to preach, Lord, just speak again, Lord, and encourage us. Love you, Lord Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen.